This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 343 in the series. This session shares a key segment of the Franklin Mass Town Council meeting held on Wednesday, September 2nd, 2020. The meeting was conducted via conference bridge to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. Chair Tom Mercer opened the meeting on schedule at 7 p.m., and after a statement on the election results of September 2nd, two citizen comments, approval of minutes of July 29-20 meeting, and a public hearing for lot line changes, we got to the key segment to be shared here. Gus Brown, Building Commissioner, presents an update on the work his department conducts in coordination with inspections, Zoning Board of Appeals, and others. You'll hear the presentation and questions from the council during the meeting. The session notes contain links to the meeting agenda and to the presentation document. The meeting segment itself runs around 56 minutes. So let's listen to the presentation and discussion on the building department.
2020 meeting of the Franklin Town Council to order. Please pause for a moment of silence. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Due to the continued concerns regarding the COVID-19 virus and Governor Baker's declared state of emergency, we will be conducting a remote/virtual town council meeting. For all public access and participation, the public will not be permitted to enter the building or participate in person. Only pre-approved participants on the meeting agenda will be allowed to enter the building and participate in person. In an effort to ensure citizen engagement and comply with open meeting law regulations, citizens will be able to dial into the meeting using the provided phone number or log in by using the Zoom link, both of which are printed on tonight's agenda, which can be found on the town's website at www.franklinma.gov. The link and phone number will be active for the duration of the meeting for citizens to ask questions or voice concerns. If residents are just interested in watching the meeting, it will also be live streamed by Franklin TV and shown on Comcast Channel 11 and Verizon Channel 29. This meeting may be recorded by others and is being recorded by Zoom. Announcements, I have one. Town Clerk Teresa Burr has informed me that there were early voting ballots that were inadvertently not counted last evening. The Town Clerk is working with the Attorney General and Secretary of State to rectify the situation, along with similar situations in the city of Newton, town of Wellesley, and town of Milford. We expect the situation to be resolved swiftly and will post the election results when authorized by the Secretary of State. Citizens' comments. Citizens are welcome to express their views for up to 5 minutes on a matter that is not on the agenda. The council will not engage in a dialogue or comment on a matter raised during citizens' comments. The town council will give remarks appropriate consideration and may ask the town administrator to review the matter. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? If so, please raise your hand. I see a hand being raised. I'm trying to read the name. Laura
Stevens.
Laura Stevens, please. unmute yourself and go ahead.
Tell her where it is under the...
You're muted now. You need to unmute.
She doesn't have a mic.
She didn't connect to her audio.
You don't have your audio connected, Laura.
She should reconnect with audio.
Okay. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda?
Dale Kurtz.
Go ahead, Dale.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to remind everyone that our bricks are currently on sale for our memorial walkway, and the sales must be in by September 14th in order for those bricks to be laid prior to Veterans Day. So again, we're taking orders, and we'll take them up through September 14th to guarantee that they'll be installed prior to Veterans Day. Thank you.
Thank you, Dale. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? I'm not seeing anyone. Are you Alicia? Laura, are you?
Doug, I heard her.
I heard her.
I apologize. I have a degree in computer science, but I have never used this program before. So to the Franklin Town Council, I thank you for listening to my comments. I own and operate the Moonlight Chef LLC here in Franklin. I'm a private chef and caterer. I've been in business here in Franklin for nearly 6 years. I've been in business nearly 12 years. I spoke to Representative Roy yesterday at the voting poll. My concerns are for caterers and bakers that don't have commercial grade kitchens. By town law and Board of Health law, we are not allowed to do any prep out of our own homes, and we understand that for health and service issues. I have been afforded use of two kitchens here in Franklin, the Rhapsody Victorian Coffee House owned by Michael Bernier, and I am also a member of the Franklin Rod and Gun Club. I can use their kitchen per diem as I need it to prepare meals for my clients, because my business model is that I bring the restaurant to my clients. It's gourmet dining in the comfort of their own home. So that being said, there's many things that need to be prepped ahead of time. So I don't always have access to my client's kitchen 6 hours ahead of time to say, like, maybe make braised beef short ribs or things that require a lot of time. This would be a temporary thing for me until I can either secure space or this nightmare.
Sure, thank you.
2020 is behind us. Somebody just,
That's okay. Go ahead. Continue, Laura.
Sorry, sir. Thank you. I'd also like to be able to go to the town festivals and the farmer's market and sell more than just my flower arrangements, because people always ask, oh, you're a chef, why are you selling flowers? Because that's all I can sell, because I don't have a commercial kitchen to work out of that is deemed allowed by the town council or the Board of Health here in Frank. Because, all right, I'm backtracking, sorry. Michael Bernier of the Rhapsody Victorian Coffee House, he is in half staff right now. He only opened at half capacity. So he asked me to come in to expand my catering, to allow me to use his space when he was closed, because he closes at 1 p.m. so I could continue to cater and use his kitchen and do other things and have that space. But the town Board of Health was like, we don't want people coming there and then to see these people gathering and the social distancing and the masks and everything else. So that was part of the issue, the concern. This would only be temporary until all of these restrictions are finally lifted and this Commonwealth can go back to the way it's supposed to be. And all small businesses, not just mine, but everyone suffering right now, can go back to normal, not some form of normalcy, not a new normal, but just get our, because I am on the precipice. I am this close to either expanding greatly or having to shut my business forever. And I just ask for your advice and what can be done. I know that you're not supposed to comment on this. You're going to weigh this as far as, you're going to talk about it. And I appreciate you taking the time to listen to me. Thank you for your time, Town Council. Franklin, thank you. I love living here.
Thank you, Laura. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak on an item not on tonight's agenda? Okay, I just gave an extra few seconds only because there is a little bit of a delay. So, but I do not see any. So therefore, we are moving on to approval of minutes. I would entertain a motion to approve minutes from July 29th.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion, additions, deletions? Seeing none, roll call vote. Clerk will call the roll.
Chandler.
Yes.
Asante.
Yay.
Hamblin.
Yes.
Kelly.
Yes.
Pellegrini.
Yes.
Jones, yes. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
One absent, sir.
Motion carries. Appointments, we do not have any this evening, and it being shortly after 7:10, I would open the public hearing for lot line number 4, zoning map changes on or near Beaver and Oak Streets. Jamie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this is lot line project number 4. For those of you at home that have been following our multi-year lot line cleanup strategy, this is the 4th one of this legislative session. This has gone through as of now. This is the first reading of this particular proposal. It's coming back to us from the planning board. It was voted on unanimously also at the Economic Development Subcommittee. The Director of Planning and Community Development, Brian Taberner, is on this call, and I would pass the baton over to Mr. Taberner to give an overview of tonight's proposal.
Thank you, Jamie. Brian?
Yes, thank you. As Jamie mentioned, this is getting to be a familiar process for us. The zoning amendments are intended to change the parcel, a zoning district line where it is a parcel is in one or is in more than one zoning district. Some are 2, some are 3. There's actually one that was in 4 a few months back. In this case, the zoning bylaw amendment 20-858 is parcels on or near the Beaver Street and Oak Street. A substantial amount of that property is owned by the town. That's what high school is and the other schools in that area. The vast majority of the parcels are in rural residential 2 and single family residential 3, and they're changed to one or the other. Some are in rural residential 2 and single family residential 4. There's about 5 that way. And again, they changed to one or the other. And then there's 2 properties owned by the town that are a little bit different. One is in all 3 residential districts and one is only in 1. And they're just adjacent to each other on Oak Street. We're recommending they go both to rural residential 2. If there are any questions about specifics, I'd be happy to talk with you, but this is a routine situation, and we have done public outreach in the form of letters that went out in advance of the first town council meeting, and also all abutters and property owners received notice of the public hearings. There's been no shortage of notification. Hopefully there's any property owners out there that want to talk about this, time to do it after councilors have questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. First, I'll go to the EDC chair, Councilor Hamblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is one of the years and years. I think this is part of the projects to clean up the lot lines. This seemed like a very straightforward clean up to us, so we just there weren't very many questions, and we wanted to get the information out to the property owners, having it in front of us tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Hamblin. Questions for other councilors. Councilor Bisanti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair to Brian Taberner. So I'm fine with it. The EDC talked about these before. I just want to be clear. When we're reducing, when we're going from four down to a lesser intense use, I just get a little concerned because we have also been talking about at the EDC level zoning where we could produce housing, which when we put it in an assemblage, we could probably afford some affordability components, and that was a bylaw that we were kicking around, but it seems to be languishing, being tabled right now. But I'm concerned about, I guess what my conclusion is, I'm concerned about reducing the amount of residential floor land in Franklin and going to a bigger lot size requirement or to a more singular use. So that would be my only critique of what we're kicking around, and it's up to this board to discuss it. But residential floor is a valuable parcel of land when it meets all the requirements for multifamily. That's all I'm saying. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Bisanti. Are there questions or comments from other councilors? Councilor Chandler.
Through you, Mr. Chairman, to Brian. The high school piece, what did we change that from what to what?
Okay. One of the parcels is 35 acres the town owns. That's currently in three different zoning districts. Aurora Residential 2, Single Family Residential 3, and Single Family Residential 4. We are proposing that we zone it Aurora Residential 2 because the majority of it is that already. And keep in mind, it does not really matter what a town parcel is zoned. This is just to clarify what district it is in. It doesn't matter because the town, the zoning districts really don't apply to the town at all. So they're zoning bylaw. So it's just a matter of cleaning up parcel lines, the zoning district lines. That's all there is to it. There doesn't change usage or any value to the town in any way.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Chandler. Any other questions or comments from the council? Where this is a public hearing, I'd go to the audience. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak to this these zoning map changes? Not seeing anything. Are you, Alicia? Okay, seeing no further comments from the audience and no further comments from the council, I'd entertain a motion to close the hearing.
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, clerk will call the roll.
Chandler.
Yes.
Santi.
Yes.
Hamlin.
Yes.
Kelly.
Yes.
Allegri.
Yes.
Jones. Yes. Vice Chair.
Yes.
Chair.
Yes.
8 with one absence.
Motion carries. Moving on, license transactions. We do not have any this evening. Presentations and discussions. We do have one. Building inspections, ZBA, Gus Brown, Building Commissioner and Zoning Enforcement Officer. And who is the man behind that tie?
Jeez.
Luisa.
Who is he going to sing?
I know.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the Town Council. My name is Gus Brown, for the record. I'm the Building Commissioner. I've been the Building Commissioner for the past 8 years and also the Zoning Enforcement Officer at the same amount of time. I've also been with the town 22 years, and it's been a great ride, by the way. Been invited tonight to present what the building department does on a daily basis for the town of Franklin. We've accomplished a lot in the last few years, and I hope after watching this you feel the same way. Also, feel free to stop me at any point if you have any questions too. Next, please. This is my staff. Steve O'Neill's my local inspector. He's been with me for 8 years. He does mostly the field inspections and a lot of zoning enforcement as well. Tyler Paslaski started March 16th. of this year, and by Wednesday of that week, we closed the doors to the town hall. So Tyler worked remotely for us after only having 3 days in, and has done a fantastic job. Yeah. Judy Demers, she's my 20-year-plus employee. She's my rock. She's an everything girl for me. Lady, sorry. She's an everything lady for me. Melissa Kirikopoulos, she's the ZBA clerk. And also does permitting for me as well. She's been here since January. Bernie Mullaney, not much to say about him other than I think he started for us in 1970. He does our electrical inspections. He's Johnny on the spot. He's there every day for me and always a good ally. Richie Canetta, he started for us in 1950. So he's a very long time employee. Bernie argues with him that there was a little break in the action, so Bernie's a longer employee than he is. next, please.
I hope you're not refereeing that.
No. daily operations. We do things as, such as issue residential commercial building permits. We issue permits for new homes, something as small as above ground pool as well. We also do periodic inspections with the fire department of multifamilies, restaurants, schools, public and private buildings. We also do zoning interpretation and enforcement of zoning bylaws. And they're written by mostly the staff and then approved by the town council. So I know you work hard at that. I thank you for that. Next, please. This is the Zoning Board of Appeals. These are the five members that we have right now. I'd like to say a few things about the board, then turn it over to Bruce Hunchard. He is on this call, or he's on this Zoom call tonight with us, and I want to have him say a couple words, but I want to say a couple things about the board. Bruce Hunchard's been a complete package. He handles all the decisions related to ZBA, and he's never too busy to ask, to answer any of the questions that people may have. And he takes his appointed position very seriously, as do the rest of the members. So I'm going to now ask Bruce to say a couple words, if I could, about what he does.
Sure you want me to. You sure you want me to, Gus?
Please.
I'm pleased to say that I'm starting my 27th year on the ZBA. Many of those, I don't know how many years in a row, but I've been elected by my peers to be the chairman. I'm happy to welcome the new ZBA secretary, Melissa. Unfortunately for her, right after she started, we started with the virus lockdown. And, you know, it's pretty hard to pick up a new job when you can't actually have hands-on, you know, when there's nobody there. She worked diligently from home. She delivered packets to us when we needed them for meetings. You know, just what the ZBA does, actually, you rezone, or you're starting to rezone some more land for us, so you're going to keep us in business because people are probably looking for relief if they have a small lot. I'm not sure exactly what you're rezoning, but that's what we do. We grant relief from the zoning bylaws. Some people think they need it, some people don't need it, but, you know, whatever. We answer a lot of questions like that. We handle variances, special permits, comprehensive permits, which I don't think we're going to be seeing anymore, at least in the short term, for the town of Franklin, because we hit our 10%. Every once in a while, and I probably count on one hand in 27 years how many times we've had to handle an appeal of the building commissioner's decision. Even though Gus is the zoning enforcement officer and we direct applicants to go to him first for a reason why they can't build so that we can have something to work with. Sometimes people are aggrieved by the building commissioner issuing a building permit, and that's an alternative for them just to come to the ZBA and ask us for a decision. You know, we have three sitting members, two alternates. It's a very cohesive board. Everybody gets along. We try to make the meetings as short as possible. And I guess that's it. If anybody has any questions, I'd be more than happy to answer.
Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate it. Great job. Thank you. Next slide, please. Any of the members have any questions for ZBA at all before I move on?
Certainly, Councilor Bazzacchi.
I just want to, I would be remiss if I could not give kudos to Bruce Hanchett and that board. They've always acted professional, and they've really dealt with some difficult decisions in this town as of late. And he's definitely a good man in this town, and that board's a good asset to have. And they got a good finger on the pulse of the development of this town. And I just want to thank Bruce for all the years of service. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilor Bazzacchi.
Couldn't agree more.
Continue, Gus.
This next slide just reflects what we did in fiscal year 2020. The next slide is reflective of what we issued for building permits in fiscal year 2020. Next, please. This has been a highlight of something that we took on in 2019, actually beginning of the fiscal year. This is our online permitting system viewpoint. We looked at a lot of different ways to go to online permitting. And from my peers, I can tell you right now, it's very disappointing with the way most of them work out. When this was supposed to be unveiled, I kind of dug my heels in a little bit, and Jamie told me, just do it. So we did. We rolled it out. We rolled it out in July of 2019, and it was an instant success. If it hadn't been for this, COVID would have been worse of a nightmare, at least for the town as far as issuing building permits. I can't say enough good about it. It's user-friendly. I know I'd be remiss if I didn't thank a lot of people on this one. This has changed the way we do business in the building department. Thank Jamie, number one, for deciding on Viewpoint. It was a tough decision, I'm sure, because we looked at a lot of companies. Chrissy, she dumbed it down for me. Sorry to say it that way, but you know, I tell everybody that gets onto the system, I said, if I can do it, you can do it. It's that simple and that user friendly. Kate, she was great during the whole process to get everything migrated from the system we had before. Nancy Danello was instrumental in it too, because she had already done it with the clerk's office and IT as well. Next slide, please. As always, we go out for fire responses 24/7. Just an example of what we do. We decide whether or not the people can go back in the home or not, if it's safe, if it isn't. Next slide, please. This is what can save a house. Fire code sheetrock in a garage. This is an example of it. Paramount that it gets done right. And it saved this house. Next slide, please. Pools without permits. It's always a problem that we encounter quite regularly. The electrical part of the pools that don't have permits are a huge concern for us. Try to do the best we can, but they still pop up. I always tell people the cheapest part of the job is the building permit. We try to make it as easy as we can on everyone, so they pull permits. Next slide, please. This is a dangerous situation. We run into this a lot. I try to get residents to comply with this, where they trim the bushes so we don't have a sight distance issue. This bylaw was created quite a while ago. It's a challenge to make sure that everybody cuts things back. Shrubs, bushes grow faster than trees, so it's difficult to keep them trimmed. Next slide, unregistered vehicles. None are allowed in the town of Franklin other than a car dealership. Next, please. Vacant properties. This bylaw was created, I believe, in 2010. Yeah. And we'll also get the Attorney General's office in, and also our new health director. She's become active in this as well. We're trying to get vacant properties cleaned up. Again, another challenge, but the bylaw helped because it helped combat unsightly vacant property. So I thank the council for voting for that. That was a huge help. And as time has gone on, other towns have adopted it. So the companies that take care of homes, they know what to do now. So Franklin was kind of the start of that whole thing when after the mortgage crisis. So it really helped. Next slide, please. This is up on Countryside Way. It's just a couple field inspection pictures. This is probably going to be over a 4,000 square foot house. Footings going in. Next slide, please. This is a couple homes up at Countryside Way. Nice project. Nice homes up there, too. Next, please. This is a 6,200 kilowatt ground mount solar farm that's being constructed up on Spring Street. And I believe there's some improvements in the area that go along with this project. Oh, sorry. Brook Street remodel. This house was saved from the wrecking ball. I know a lot of hard work went into saving this house, and the wall is just unbelievable. I couldn't help but take a picture of this. This house was in tough shape, and I don't know what.
Salesman.
Yeah, I don't know what the inside looks like, but it's just nice to see something saved for a change. You know,
it's original.
Yeah, and the wall is just stunning. I don't know if the picture reflects that. Next slide. This was a picture I took in 2018, August of 2018, of the Thompson Press on Dean Avenue, and this was during the demolition. Next slide, please. And this is what we see today. Next slide, please. So this is the way this project stands today. This is in place of the Thompson Press building. A zoning change by the town council allowed for a residential development in this section of town. I believe this was part of the master plan too. And you know, I had a couple phone calls during the course of this project, and I won't say what they were about, but I felt the need to go to residents and to live in the area to see what they thought of this project. So I stopped a woman one day and I talked to her and her daughter about it, and she was an abutting resident of this. And I asked her what she felt about the project and how she thought it was going. She said it really changed the whole complexion of the area and gave it a neighborhood feel. So pretty proud that this was done and accomplished. Oh, thank you. Next slide, please. New condos that were that replaced an older home next to Simon's Furniture. Next slide, please. Grove Street. This was a house that had a small home occupation in it, and they went for a change in use. I believe this is a computer repair company, and it's quite an improvement after going to the planning board and getting a change in use permit. So pretty happy about the way that place came out too. Next slide. Village at Cook's Farm. Next slide, please. This is also a shot I took of Village at Cook's Farm. You notice the colors of the houses and how good it looks with the landscaping. Oh, that was a great project. Next slide, please. This is a huge warehouse that was built next to the old digital building over the past year. 300,000 square foot building. They did not have a tenant when they built this building. They must have known something because within, I guess, the completion of the project, they found a tenant. I'm not sure if they actually bought the building as well. It was recently sold, but this is a cleaning company that distributes cleaning supplies all over the state, or maybe Northeast. And for them to take this entire building, it's just, it's monumental. It's just, it's amazing that it was one tenant building. Next slide, please. Right next door is the Ben Franklin Charter School. This was a modular design. This came out good too. Next slide. Shaw's Plaza, where the Bob Stores was. This is a multi-tenant area now, too, as well. And the next one. We've had Tri-County build quite a few projects for us over the years. And this is the latest one that teacher Jeremy Barstow and the students built. This was done right before March, so it's quite an accomplishment with the students. Next slide, please. Home of the new food pantry on East Central. Next slide, please. This will be a mixed-use project that will be built across the street from us here. They'll take a blighted building and they'll turn it into residential and some retail shops too, as well. Let's see. Next one. This one's a little bit of a sad story right now. This is the hotel on Union Street that was under construction, but currently nothing's being done up there. I had it boarded up last week, and I know they're running into some problems with it. Hopefully this will come back and be finished. But they have secured the building so that no one goes inside of it. Happier note, this is a former Encontro restaurant. They've turned it into another restaurant. Next slide. And this is some of the equipment in the back room. And that's my slide presentation for tonight. And I wondered if anyone had any questions for me tonight.
Jamie?
Thank you, Chairman. Sorry, just a couple of quick notes. You know, this is just a little bit of what Gus and Steve and the staff all do. It's a great summary of the types of projects that have either had to gone through ZBA, or I think it really shows and highlights the really diverse set of skills and work that Gus and the building department and the ZBA deal with. And as you can tell from the talking points that he had during some of the slides, it's really important that the public and the folks on this call understand these folks are looking out for everyone's safety, whether it's a private home, a 300,000 square foot warehouse. You know, it's really something that's a priority. It has to be a priority. That's why this stuff is in state code. You know, a couple other quick points. You know, obviously I really can't mince into any words how great Gus is as a building commissioner. I think anybody that's interacted with him knows he's fair. He's also going to be tough when he feels that there's going to be safety at risk. You know, him and the staff do a tremendous job, all the way from the veterans like Bernie and Richie and Judy, down to the newbies like Tyler and Melissa, who I know are on the call tonight. Thanks everybody and to the whole staff for showing up for tonight's presentation. And finally, I just want to note, which I didn't get out at the beginning, this is the first in a series of these presentations that you're going to see over the fall. All of you usually ask for departmental presentations and we want people to come in. Well, we have a list upstairs and we chart when the departments have come in last. Building, Board of Health, Conservation Commission, and Planning Board have none of those departments have actually done this type of a presentation since I've been here in 5 years. So the time was right. And so what you're going to see is tonight we're kicking off that lead off Gus Brown. And then in a couple weeks, we're looking at having the Board of Health and then the Planning Board and Conservation. So each of the next few meetings are going to have those other permitting and inspection boards come forth and give updates on their departments and be here as an opportunity for everybody to ask questions. So with that in mind, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Jamie. Questions, comments from the council? Start over on this side. Councilor Chandler.
Through you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Gus. You have an excellent reputation in town. We appreciate that. I was just, after looking through all these slides, I was thinking one of the hardest things you must have is that unregistered vehicles. Like, people are always, I can put one of those in my yard. Like, I don't know how you deal with that, but is that one of your hardest ones? Those unregistered vehicles?
It's right up there, Brian.
And, yeah.
You know, I think when I tell people that, they go, what do you mean? I thought I could have one.
Yeah, that's the line of the century.
I've been here 22 years. We've never allowed any. And, you know, some have extenuating circumstances. Most people are good. They work with you. We enforce a lot, and we try to enforce the more important things, and cars are one of the more important things that we try to make sure that they stay up and running and they're not just sitting decaying.
Keeps the neighborhoods looking better. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, it is it's a tough one.
And one more thing.
Sure. Go ahead.
Some of those sounds like that Thompson Press building. I don't know if some of you remember that from when you were younger, but if you're ever on the fourth floor, if you had to inspect that, you feel like you're going to fall. Yeah. It was that dangerous. I'm so glad it was torn down. It was one of the better things that people helped do. That building was a
a trap.
You always felt like if the wind blew hard, it was going to be a problem over there. And it maybe because it was such a narrow building.
Yeah.
And I know the fire department had possibly some sleepless nights thinking about if that building ever was to have a problem in it. I know a lot of people are happy it's down. And I think, you know, not to be long-winded here, but when projects like this are happening, people don't want change. And that's why I went up to the woman and I asked her, I said, yeah, you know, what do you think? The daughter said, that was in the car, said, I miss all the trees. And the mother closed the door. She started to talk to me without being in the earshot of the daughter. And to hear what the mother said about the place, this is generally what happens to change. You know, people don't want to see it. However, when you have buildings like that and they get torn down and something new gets built, it's such a shock.
Hmm.
People are like, oh, I wanted that building to stay. And I'm like,
no,
okay. And eventually, if you're just patient with the people, they come around to thinking that it was a good thing. It's tough, though. It's a tough process. We get a lot of phone calls and a lot of complaints about these buildings being torn down. And I know you all probably get phone calls, too. So I'm sympathetic, but I also like change, too, because sometimes it's for the better.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councilor Chandler. Councilor Hamblin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gus, thank you so much for being here tonight. It was very interesting. I know you guys are always fighting for our safety, so that's really great to know. One of my questions was that, and I would like, maybe you can explain a little bit more about it. You have 4,000, in your list, there's 4,000 permits, right? That's like so many when you think about it. So during the time when you couldn't do field inspections, how many virtual inspections did you do? And like, what did that take for you? Because I think it was just you doing it. Is that correct?
It was. I conferred with all my inspectors to make sure that pictures were taken. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We did have pictures coming in.
Yeah.
But they were gone over on a regular basis. I visited with Bernie Ritchie, the mechanical inspectors, and there was an extensive amount of time going over pictures. But, you know, they say pictures tell 1,000 words. Well, I don't know that there's any way to make it compliant with just pictures. So now the inspectors are starting to go back out and they're actually going back to some of the ones that we actually got pictures for so that we're more comfortable with them. But I got to tell you, Melanie, I'm sorry, Councilor.
It's okay.
But, I got to tell you, taking pictures for inspections, you're kind of looking over your shoulder too. So, especially with the plumbing and the gas and the electrical, but Richie and Bernie have gone back out to a lot of these residents to double check and make sure they were done right.
That's great. And so it's almost like a double inspection then.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
Do you know how many there were?
Like how many?
Yeah.
I can get that total for you. Yeah.
Just off the top of your head.
You figure it was March, April, May, June. It was 4 months. So a quarter,
right.
You know,
right.
A quarter of the year a quarter of the year. And, you know, break it down to the 4,000 inspections. So possibly 1,000 inspections that we took pictures. We got pictures on. A lot of the inspections I still went out on my own, even though COVID was present. But we did go back on a lot of them.
That's great. You guys worked really hard, I think.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to. Now I totally forgot what I was going to say.
Yeah.
But anyway,
it's a mess.
But thanks. Thank you for doing that work. I know. Like there were some towns that actually shut down their inspections and we didn't, and Viewpoint helped, and that's really an easy program to go through. And I want to thank you for keeping up and current. So thank you a lot, the whole staff.
We they were great at home and all. And again, not to be long-winded, but I couldn't do that to the homeowners or the contractors. You know, they deserve to get a service from their town.
Yeah.
So, and it we made the decision, it worked out well.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Hamblin. Councillor Plegri.
I just wanted to say also, thank you for coming tonight. Thank you. And I had the opportunity of working with Gus over the years, and how you always have complaints from different about different department heads and this and that. I can never remember one about you. I remember the day that Dave left and we talked and you said, I don't know. And I said, Gus, it's for you. And I know you can do it. And you've proven yourself. You've done a wonderful, wonderful job.
Thank you.
I'm so proud of you. And I'm sure everyone else is too.
You make it very easy for me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Not too easy, but easy.
Thank you, Councilor Pellegri. Councilor Bisanti.
Councilor DeLacqua had his hand up before me, so.
No, it doesn't matter.
I'm just going around.
It doesn't matter.
Thank you. Thank you through the chair to Building Commissioner Brown. I just wanted to say excellent presentation. Yep. And I don't know if we're still, are we calling it the blight bylaw as far as the abandoned homes?
Or it is not. It is vacant property bylaw.
So,
for that,
I know
lack of
Glenn Jones worked on that. He was the author, and I tried to give it a little more teeth my last time around. But I think you should brag about the fact that you actually, you know, with those, the big infringers upon that, those homes, abandoned houses or homes in foreclosure was like banks like Wells Fargo and stuff like that. And we did get fined. We fined them and we did get money for some of those abandoned homes. And I think that was a great thing that you did. So
it did work out well. I think they would not deal with us in the beginning, and the fines helped. They started to listen. I don't want to say we started the whole ball rolling. I'm sure we didn't, but it was early on, and you could call these companies. They wouldn't answer the phone. They wouldn't talk to you. So it worked out well.
Thank you. I released it.
Thank you, Councilor Bisanti. Councilor Kelly.
Thank you, Jim Mercer. Gus, into the ZBA, thank you for everything you do. I know you guys work hard, and people often forget that the ZBA is a non-paid position. And although we are part of the appointing process, there are volunteers within our community that step up to take that role on. And many of the ZBA members have been here a long time, not as long as Bruce Hunchard, but he is really the authority on zoning in this town and really knowing anything as a citizen. If you need anything, it's great to have somebody with that kind of knowledge. But I did want to welcome Melissa and Tyler and thank Steve, Bernie, and Richie for all that they do. But one of the people that you mentioned that I think really needs some huge accolades is Judy. No matter what's going on, you see her out at a restaurant, you see her downstairs. She could be deathly ill, and she is the nicest person in the whole world. And for somebody that's in town halls a lot, you don't get that. Your staff is fantastic, but it's, and you are a fantastic boss because they always talk very highly of you. Judy is that glue that holds that whole place together for you. And she's amazing. And I thank every day that we have her here in this building because she brings so much sunshine to the building. So good work by all of you.
Thank you
for keeping Judy on and don't let her go.
No, never.
Thank you, Councilor Kelly. Councilor Jones.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gus, we've known each other a long time. And we've worked together on many occasions. And I'm being timed. But we've worked closely together on many projects.
I enjoyed every minute of it. The way you handled the students with the home that was built was impressive.
Yeah, the affordable
the
house.
Organization skills, too, with all the students was phenomenal.
Thank you. But honestly, the affordable housing project was a big plus to the town. Really, anything that we can get affordable housing in the community, anywhere we can fit it in. And hopefully, there'll be another project coming up.
Yeah.
So try and get one of those up. But, you know, Gus, a team is, you know, a department's only as good as its team. And you have one of the best teams in the building. You have, and you're a great leader. I remember when you first came on as the building commissioner, I was absolutely smitten. I was so excited to have you in that position because I knew you'd do well, and you've proven yourself time and time again. There is, and I think, like Councilor Plug, you said, there's not a single person I can speak to as a single bad thing to say about you. You really do a great job.
Thank you.
And I know from personal experience, having come in there to pull electrical permits and work with all the other departments and doing electrical work and other things, everyone's been so professional. But I do have to echo Councillor Kelly's point in regards to Judy. Judy, one, being my neighbor, and two, being the face of walking into the department and seeing her as she really steps up to the plate and helps out everybody. Her level of knowledge is insurmountable. Yeah, it is. To lose her is going to be a great loss.
We're not going
really to hope to hold on to
She's
her.
Staying forever.
So if we can find any extra money in the budget to support, I'm just anyways. But you have a great department and you're a great leader, and thank you for all the hard work you put into it. And it was a great presentation today.
Thank you very much. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, Councillor Jones. Councillor DeLocco.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To you. Unfortunately, I'm going to win the bad guy. I guess I get all the calls about you. You know what I mean?
On,
No, Gus, you do a great job. It's so easy. You're always accessible. You know, you call. You're always right there, and that's what you need to be, and that's what you do a great job at that. Couple things, that solar park up on Spring Street, and you said are we going to tar that road?
I would not want to speak on all the items on that one.
Because I'm getting a lot of complaints. They're saying that.
Yeah.
Real bad up there.
I know there was some agreement made, and I don't want to speak out of turn and not be accurate. I think there's...
Well, I was going to bring that up at council's comments, but then you brought it up, so I'll bring it up if you... at council comments if you want.
If you have a comment, Jamie, go ahead.
Yeah, through Mr. Chairman, just so that we can discuss it because it's on the agenda and we can get it out there. A portion of that road will be paved. The whole road will not be paved. In the long run, the ultimate vision is at the top of the hill where the paving's good. The paving's going to basically start from the bottom of where the incline goes and go up. They're also going to be doing telephone poles, and so there'll be some additional infrastructure improvements along the sides of the road leading up all of Spring Street. And so what the long-term plan is to get this project done, which will probably be done next year, I'm thinking, but at this point, just because we lost a few months with COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the top of that hill, they're going to build a parking lot. To allow for people to park for the SNET trail as to go into the state forest. And ultimately, most people don't know this about Spring Street, but it's a public way all the way to 140.
Oh, yeah.
And do not try to drive it. I feel like I have to have a clause out there, like, you know.
It's flashing on the screen.
Right. Do not. Yeah. Do not. You will not make it through. We've had conversations with the state forest about creating expanded trail access to get into the state forest. And then eventually we hope to look at the lower portion of that road.
Okay.
And see if we can't rebuild it after all of this, after Verizon and all the other companies get done and after the project's complete and the proponent paves that 400, I think it's about a 600-foot stretch. Mm. Once they do that, then we'll go in and look at it with DPW and see if we can do the rest.
Okay, no, that's fine. That's great. That's all I needed to know.
No, I actually welcome the opportunity to say it because it gives me an opportunity to kind of clear, because I've gotten a couple calls recently too. And actually, we did address the speeding issues for many people that might have heard it. There was originally some trucks going a little too quick up that road. And so we were able to kind of put some cold water on that too. So the folks on Spring Street should look to hopefully over the next few years have some improvements up there.
Yeah. Thanks, Jamie.
Yeah.
And that's all I got to say. Guys, you do a great job. Thank you. No more than I can say. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor DeLocco. I did drive Spring Street in 1968, four of us.
Now, were you smoking?
The last time that car went anywhere.
That was the last car we made it through.
It's still up there.
It was the final drive.
It's still up there somewhere. See if you can find it.
No, we made it out the other side across from Gorelick. But,
oh, wow.
But anyway. Gus, thank you for coming this evening, and absolutely I applaud the efforts of the building department. You guys do a great job. You've done a wonderful job through COVID with a lot of not easy circumstances that you had to deal with. And with all the building that's gone on in Franklin over the last 20 years, certainly the accolades to the building department throughout is well deserved. And Jamie, I just want to also take the opportunity to thank you for continuing. I know we've had this conversation on many occasions of bringing in the departments, and I think it should continue forever, and just rotating them back through, because especially now where we're on TV, it gives the public an opportunity to see what our departments do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because a lot of them, and I know as counselors, we get a lot of questions. What do they do? And
counselors,
this is a prime example. This is a great example.
Absolutely.
And please continue to bring them forward one at a time.
One.
To Councilor Kelly's point.
One at a time. People don't want to stay up till midnight watching us.
But Gus, thank you again.
They're fine with Gus. It's us. They don't want to see.
I'll quickly go to the audience. If there was anyone in the audience that would like to ask a question or make a comment. You're off scot-free.
I just have a couple things to add.
And I quit.
Okay, Gus.
You know, it starts at the top, leadership. I got to tell you, though, my staff, if I didn't have them and the people that I have in place, I don't think we'd be having the same conversation. They're always there for me. They never question anything. And the same thing with the leadership at the top with Jamie. He's been paramount in guiding me and helping me, and we've learned a lot together. And the same thing with the council. You know, I look to you all at times, too, to get answers. So I appreciate all you do as well. So thank you very much for having me.
Excellent.
Thank you, Gus.
Thanks,
Gus.
Good job, Gus.
Great job, Gus.
That's a snazzy tie, too.
Yeah.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.